If you want to send us an email the old-fashioned way, can you imagine email is old-fashioned? It's crazy. TheZone at 1037thebuzz.com. Tommy Smith is so old school that he doesn't even communicate the old school way through email. That's how old school he is. That's amazing.
Tommy uses carrier pigeons, and they fly to your house.
Tommy, you smell funny. What's up? I was sending some smoke signals. Oh, okay. I got you. That's how he does it. He's good like that. Okay, so let me move on. We mentioned college football tonight. I mentioned the college football games last night. By the way, congratulations to Harding for a road victory last night.
I watched some of that game. It was pretty exciting.
Well, something different this week from last week is that they actually had a 100-yard rusher. Last week, one of the craziest statistics I've ever seen, Pigskin. Harding goes for 500 yards rushing as a team. They have no 100-yard rushers. 13 guys carry the ball.
That's never been done in the history of football,
Bro,
I would imagine.
I'm telling you, if there was a team full of John Stocktons, you wouldn't see the rock shared that much. It's amazing.
That's good.
13. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, they were bringing dudes out of the stands to be running backs.
Now, at the other end of the spectrum is what I saw with my team last night. Look, before I get into the fact that my Cyclones got screwed by the referees, and look, for those of you who are going, who cares about Iowa State? We have a common enemy, and the enemy of your enemy is your friend.
That's right.
So we're all Iowa State fans today because we all hate Texas.
Yes.
If you're sitting around listening to this rant and burnt orange, I'm not talking to you. So you can switch the station for a few minutes because I'm about to get ugly. And you know what? Most of my blame doesn't even go towards Texas, other than the fact that a guy named Mike Davis is the biggest scumbag in college football today. It was the lead story, and kudos to them on Bleacher Report for calling this loser out who tried to cheap shot and tear a guy's ACL. I have never ever seen a cheaper shot in my life in the world of college football. If this kid doesn't get suspended against Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry, then the folks at the NCAA and or Texas have no gonads whatsoever.
You have suffered greatly this year at the hands of Mike Davis and Aaron Kraft.
No question about
it. Two cheaters.
I am sick and tired of being screwed by the NCAA. And look, Arkansas, as much as we love Arkansas and as much as I think their football program and basketball program are at a high level, no question about it, we still don't seem to have favor with the folks at the NCAA. The referees don't seem to give us the edge. It seems like every close call we get screwed on.
The blue bloods always get the benefit of the doubt on reffing. Well, Texas is a blue blood. And my son, oh, they're going to overturn this. I looked at him. I said, are you kidding? I said, they're not going to overturn this against Texas. Now, they would have overturned it for Texas,
right,
but never against.
Okay, let's go with the good, the bad, and the ugly on this one, okay? The good part is Iowa State had a 97-yard touchdown pass, the longest pass in school history. And again, I was getting all kinds of messages from folks who are all kinds of fans of all kinds of schools because they, too, hate Texas.
Everyone hates Texas.
Everybody hates Texas. I think most Texans hate Texas because of the fact that they know that they screw their opponents because of the help that they get from the NCAA. The bad, of course, was the fact that Iowa State, and I'll give them this, and you made this point to me last night as I was, I'm telling you, I was a mushroom cloud son of a gun, and you're poking at me with your tweet
or your text. They went
Lloyd Carr. But you were right.
They went Lloyd Carr.
You were right. And I don't think they weren't being aggressive. They were being aggressive in order to try to salt the game away, because if they score a touchdown late,
the game is over. Game over.
If they go up two scores, it is over, sans some sort of miracle score plus onside kick, which I didn't see coming. The bottom line is this. Iowa State has a second and short. They run the ball, and they get stuffed. Now they have a third and three. They pass the ball, and it was not a particularly creative play. It was a three-step drop, pass over the middle to one of their little midget receivers who's like 5'3", which, by the way, their little running backs are amazing. One dude housed a kid from Texas down the sideline late in the game, housed him, ran right over him, and this dude's like 150 pounds. Anyway, wasn't a great play call, I didn't think. I would have got a little more creative with it. They settle for a field goal. They go up six. And I'm sitting there going, here we go. Because you open the door to getting screwed.
Every time. You're asking for it.
You've got to take any and all doubt out.
We're going to let the refs help them with pass interference calls and overrules and not fumble call. I mean, I told my son, I said, you've got to score the touchdown. Touchdown, game over. You kick the field goal. We're up six. Six is nothing. They're going to go down the field and score a touchdown and lose. Lloyd Carr lost 30 of his 40 games at Michigan in exactly that fashion.
Please let me rant. I can't have you complaining about your all-time complaint, because this is my all-time complaint. We're in the same boat. I understand. You could spend the next 3 hours complaining about Lloyd Carr, and I get that.
Be glad to.
Anyway, so what happens, of course, Texas drives right down, and they apparently have a chance to score. Well, they do. And I will even say this. As an Iowa State fan even, I won't sit here and complain about the fact that the pass interference was called over and over and over again because I thought 95% of them were legit. There was one I thought was kind of iffy.
One was not a pass interference.
But
on one in the end zone, you got to call it.
Yeah,
right.
The final drive, I had no problem with any of them for the most part, so it was fine. And there were like six pass interference calls, and five of them were all fine with me. I had no problem with it. I don't know what the defensive backs were because they were at 1 minute spectacular and at 1 minute horrendously terrible as though they never played defensive back. It's like they took a tackle and stuck him at corner.
It's like, turn around,
exactly.
Man.
Bright eyes.
Look,
anyway,
look what they're showing now.
Anyway.
They're showing the play now.
Don't get me off my subject. I got to stay focused, Pigskin, because I'm about to lose it. Here's where it gets good. So the kid from Texas, the running back, the kid not named Mike Davis, who isn't even a scumbag. He's just a good player. He runs the ball. He falls on his back. He's not on the ground. How many times have you seen a guy? Arkansas got screwed on the exact same play by Michael Dyer a couple years ago when Arkansas was playing at Auburn and Tyler Wilson had come in and gone crazy.
Yes.
And they had the play where Dyer appeared to be down, but no, he wasn't actually down, and he got up and kept running. Oops. Sorry, we thought he was down. Exact same play last night on the goal line for Texas. The kid's laying there. And he's not even laying there for an extended period of time. We're talking about 1 second, maybe one and a half. The Iowa State linebacker rips the ball out. It's in his possession. The whistle blows. He runs down the field. They call the play dead. They go to the review, and they say, nah, he was down. Winnie, there is nobody
who thinks
that. He
was never down.
And guess what? To add insult to injury, that little scumbag former Ohio State running back is on TV today, Robert Smith.
I can't stand
him. Talking about how, there was nothing conclusive in there, so of course they couldn't possibly think that it was conclusive. And if it's not conclusive, they have to say it's not conclusive, and the call on the field stands. No, you idiot. Anybody with two eyes, most people with one eye. There are pirates all over the country with a patch over one eye and a parakeet on one shoulder who could see that the dude fumbled the ball. It was obvious. It is amazing to me continually. We'll get to the crap play in a minute. I do applaud Paul Rhodes, though, because the easy thing to do is to the easy thing to do is to go in there and go, look, from our perspective, we thought we had a play. We thought we had a turnover. We thought we did what we had to do. It's unfortunate. We'll move on. We'll play next week. But that's not what Paul Rhodes did. He basically stood up, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Peter Finch, Network. Great
I've
scene.
I've got the privilege, as the head football coach of this football program, to face my players, win or lose, and look them in the eye, and feel how proud I am of the work they put forth, the effort they gave tonight, and to make a play on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall, clear to everybody, and have it taken away from them. That's hard to express. You don't just put an arm around a guy and tell him it's okay when that happens to him. The view I had of that gigantic screen in the north end zone showed a player that was not down and our guy with the football.
That's it.
I've got pretty good eyesight, he says. And yes, he does. And anybody who had reasonably good eyesight could see that that was not the right call. And there's Robert Smith, that scumbag former Buckeye up there going, yeah, that was the right call. I mean, it wasn't conclusive.
That was
Idiot.
Incredible how you timed that up with the TV.
Isn't that amazing? That was weird. Yeah, we're watching ESPN and the exact same
thing. If that would have been
thing.
Against Ohio State, Smith would be singing a completely different tune.
No doubt.
Here's the problem with college football officiating. They use that whistle as a be-all, catch-all, end-all excuse for every form of incompetence. Michael Dyer won the national championship for Auburn a few years ago on a play that was not blown dead. It shouldn't have been blown dead. He wasn't down. The guy from Texas was not down yesterday. And the guy from Iowa State had the ball while he was still upright. You've got to let them play on. If the guy from Texas burrows into the end zone, they call it a touchdown, and then the commentators are saying that was a great second effort that got the touchdown. Then you've got to play it both ways and let the Iowa State guy get that ball.
I understand everybody stops on the whistle, but the guy clearly has possession before the whistle ever blew.
Not even close.
Yeah, I don't even know what the argument was
there. If college football refs had been at the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, it never would have happened because the whistle had blown it dead before all those people got shot. That's what they would do.
I was thinking about that this morning. It's as though David and Goliath were about to get into it, and David slings his stone at the Philistine's head, and then the NCAA pops in with a shield and blocks it.
They would have.
Let him drop!
They would have.
Let Goliath die!
You got to let it play out. You have to.
I was very unhappy with that.
Me too.
Again, one more thing here, Pixie, and I'm going to take these calls. The same thing happened at Iowa State. There was a block charge call in the NCAA tournament, and it was clear that Kraft, A, slid in late, and B, had his feet on the circle, which means he's inside the circle, which means it's not a legal block play. There was no way to, or there's no way to call a charge, rather. And they screwed that up, too, even after a review. I am sick and tired of getting screwed. Feel my pain! Feel my pain!
The Iowa States of the world never get those calls.
Well,
Alabama and Texas always get those calls.
Well, here's the thing, and if you don't give a crap about Big 12 football, basketball, baseball, or golf, it doesn't matter to me. Here's what is true, is that Arkansas, unfortunately, is in that same realm as far as not getting the respect that it so richly deserves, because guess what? Their kids go through spring football. Their kids go through fall camp. Their kids work hard every week to get ready for their next opponent, and they get screwed on Saturday because they don't have a Texas Longhorn emblem on their helmet, and that's crap.
The fix is in.
Aaron.
Dang, man, you're on a roll today.
Yes, I'm done now. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, cool. Pigskin, pretty sure the biggest English-speaking country in the world is India.
Aaron, you are correct, and I completely forget about the subcontinent for some reason. They're the biggest Hindi-speaking country and the biggest English, because they got, like, what, 1.3 billion?
What about your show-offs?
That's a great call, Aaron. Great call.
Oh, well, I do what I can.
I appreciate you contributing to the moral betterment of this show.
Aaron, look, I'm trying to stay as stupid as I was when I woke up this morning, so quit doing things like that. I don't need to learn anything the rest
of
the day.
Hey, listen, Aaron's smart enough to know that the Iowa State guy stole that ball while the play was still
going
on.
Yes, there were over a billion Hindi-speaking folks in India that saw that clearly as a fumble.
They all saw it.
Thank
man,
you.
I don't even have an eye patch, so.
Well, thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it,
thanks,
man.
Y'all.
Aaron, give me an arg. That's good. Sterling, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I'm in total agreement with you. That was total screw job. And Smith, I heard him this morning too. I just had to turn him off. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. The guy was standing up. He's freaking standing up. If you blew the whistle, it was an inadvertent whistle. Play Iowa State ball. That's it.
Sterling, this is the reason that Robert Smith cannot have a coherent thought. All that weed that he smoked when he was playing for the Ohio State University, it has clogged up his synapses, and they don't fire the way they should.
Let me just say this. To quote Sterling, I'm ready to roll right now, Sterling.
I'm the guns of the Navarone.
I don't understand how they get away with stuff like that. And I don't want to hear about you suspending your official. I don't want to hear nothing like that. Let them go on. I don't get it. How can you look at that and not reverse the call?
Sterling.
How do you get the ball wrong in the first place?
It's Chinatown, Jake. It's Chinatown.
You're right,
it's Texas.
I don't understand that either. It's very bothersome. It's not going to change. And the problem is, no matter what, just like in the basketball game that happened in the NCAA tournament, even if they go back and say, yep, the ref screwed up, it doesn't matter. It's not going to change the play. It's not going to change the outcome of the game. It blows. But that's life. How do you feel about the
call? On that call, forget the fact that he slid in under him.
Right.
He's in the circle.
Yep. Yep, you're right. And if he scoots over that guy backwards into the end zone, they're going to give him a touchdown. So how could he possibly be down and not be eligible to fumble? Sterling, how do you feel about the Cardinals on a happier note?
Oh, I feel like that we need to win today. Almost got to.
You think?
In game three, you got a Hernando, I'm going to butcher his name, Francisco, pitching in game three, and he's been killing the Cardinals all season. So, I mean, I'm the first to lose that game. So, I mean, if you get that momentum going with that home crowd, you could be closed out in Pittsburgh if you don't win today. And they got their hot shot rookie going today. I'm worried about today, to be honest with you.
Sterling, I appreciate that, and I wish you well. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, though. In honor of my friend Phil Elson and other Bucks fans all over this great nation of ours and in India, I'm going to stay neutral going forward because I was rooting against the Cardinals and for the Pirates yesterday, mostly because of A.J. Burnett. And, of course, he got shelled. So my Cubs curse apparently can be transferred to other teams and organizations. And so what I'm going to do is stay neutral the rest of the way. And I wish everyone well. I'm just going to stay out of it, and whatever happens, happens. So let the chips fall where they may.
How's he doing? You know, with his back, and have you talked to him since he went down?
Yeah, he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be okay to do the game this week on Saturday for Henderson, and he will be back with us on Monday at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, which we hope will be talking to a jubilant, happy, and victorious Clint Conk looking for win number 101 this weekend. Sterling, thank you.
Yeah, have a great day.
See you, buddy. A couple more calls here, and then we got to take a break. What's up, Everett?
Hey, I wanted to clarify something. When I saw the two fumbles, they were in consecutive plays at the one.
Right.
The second fumble looked more obvious to me.
Well, the ball squirted out. Well, the ball squirted out loose. But if a guy is up and you rip it from his hands, that's a fumble. It's the same as if the guy loses possession of the ball and it falls on the ground. There's no difference.
Well, I know they had not blown the whistle. And a matter of fact, now you know this rule too. If somebody inadvertently blows the whistle early,
right,
then all bets are off.
Right, but
we
none
don't
of that,
even know if that happened.
No, we do know that it didn't happen because everybody heard it the same way. And on the replay, they played it in real time with real audio, and there was not a whistle until clearly the guy had possession. And by the way,
he was 15 yards down the field when they blew the whistle.
Everybody is trained to do the same thing, and that is
stop at the whistle.
No, everybody's trained to do the same thing, which is blow the whistle as late as you can. If there's any doubt in your mind, you eat your whistle. Everybody knows that in football. You let the play out, and then you sort it out afterwards. But if you blow the whistle, you give no chance to fixing it. And I don't want them to lean completely 100% on the replay, but that's what it's there for. So
well,
if there's any doubt, you let it ride.
In my eyes, I felt like the second fumble was even a better case than the first.
But he didn't lose it.
He recovered the second fumble, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah,
the first one was the one.
Yeah,
he fell on it.
The kid that fumbled it got it back.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I see what you're saying, and you're right about the whistle. And I hate it when that happens in a game. And a lot of times, I don't know if you remember this or not, my father-in-law, I guess you wouldn't remember this, it happened in like 1960, but my father-in-law told me about the time that Ole Miss and had a last-second kick against Arkansas in Little Rock, and they kicked the ball, and it went straight through the upright, but there was an inadvertent whistle, so they had to do it a second time. The second time, it went way to the right, and they said, good, and ran off the field, because they felt bad about the inadvertent whistle.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard that story. Anybody was at that game, I'd love to hear from you. Everett, thanks for the call.
Well, right,
Justin, it's not going to help you and your cause, but we can say this. Texas's luck will run out when they play Oklahoma in a couple weeks and they lose by 50 points.
I couldn't agree
They're
more.
They're going to get killed.
Murdered. C-I-L-L.
My landlord.
My longhorn.
My longhorn.
And Mike Davis should not be playing in that game, and if he does, then the NCAA has absolutely no gonads. And Texas, by the way, here's what's going to – I have great respect for Mac Brown. I really do. I think he's a great man. I've met him before. I've seen the way he's treated other people. He is a good man. And I understand how he felt last night. I can't blame him. It's not his fault. It's the ref's fault. Other than the fact that if he doesn't discipline Mike Davis for at least a quarter or a half in the Texas in the Oklahoma game that they're going to get murdered in anyway, I will have less respect for him. He will go from up here to down here. And he doesn't need that. Not that he cares what I think. What's up, Tide fan Steve?
Hey guys, man, I want to clarify a couple of things. First off, Justin, I was watching that game and I was rooting hard for Iowa State.
You should have rooted harder.
The whole Mike Davis stuff. I know you were rooting harder, but the whole Mike Davis thing. This is what gets me about some of these personal foul calls is, you know, they're trying to protect all from the head and the hits, and they'll throw a personal foul and you could possibly get a kid ejected from that game. But yet you do a personal foul like that, and that's also a career-ending type injury
right.
that can prevent that kid. They need to, when it comes to some of these personal fouls, go ahead and do a replay on all of them, because if you turn around and see that, you throw his butt out.
Absolutely.
And I totally agree with you on that. I mean, blown calls, I'm with you 110%. But there were some really, really bad calls. I mean, you know, the pass interference calls that they were calling on Iowa State, the first one was a illegal contact after 5 yards.
Yeah.
That's not a pass interference, and Paul wasn't catchable. The second one was a holding because you could see that's not a pass interference. The ball wasn't catchable.
I saw a call last night, and again, I'm not saying it wasn't legit, but it was amazing how many calls went against him. Because a lot of stuff, look, they could call offensive holding almost every play, ask anybody. But there was a holding call on a defensive lineman. I've never seen that called in my entire life. I'm not even saying it wasn't legit. He almost ripped the guy's jersey off. But I've never even seen that call before.
Right, right. Well, man, guys, great show. keep it up. I just want to say that I think Iowa State did get hosed last night, and they do need to get rid of Mike Davis. I mean, they need to get, they need to go back and do those replays.
If they don't suspend him for at least a half against Oklahoma, I'm going to be gravely disappointed. I really am. Steve,
yes,
I appreciate
sir.
The call. You know what? Guys like that are that stupid, you can't play for me. You can't play for me. I'm sorry, son. I'll give you a second chance, but if I ever see anything close to that again, you cannot play on my team. You cannot be part of my program. That is bad mojo for everyone around us.
What goes around comes around.
That's it. He's going to get it. He's
whatever
gonna eat
a man
Reno
sows, that also shall he reap.
Yes, well, he's going to reap a broken ACL then
and
if he keeps
it. He shall eat
it
Reno style.
Loser. What's up, Gary?
The refs are who we thought they were.
Yes, you know what I'm going to do in honor of Tommy Smith? We're going to do Iowa State Cyclone graffiti.
And they let them off the hook, and they let inter-appropriate teams, Florida, beef, Alabama, beef, Duke basketball, beef, USC, beef, inter-appropriate team. We let them off the hook.
Yes. Gary, I appreciate the call, and you're so right. We'll take more calls coming up. We've got to take a break. We're so far behind. Matt's giving me stink eye. I will say this, if anybody read the Arkansas Democrat Gazette today, or at least for most of our listeners, you looked at the pretty pictures, there's a story on the right column on the front page of the sports, above the fold. 09 Hogs still feel, quote, cheated. You know why? Because they got cheated.
You never forget those things.
A BS call in a similar fashion to last night. We did what we were supposed to do, and there are the refs screwing it up.
Mm.
Not happy about
Mm-mm.
it. Later on, Robbie Neiswanger from the Argus.